Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning, Larry Richard with anchorman Pat Septak. The top story comes out of our nation's capital. Shortly before 9 p.m. last night, an American Airlines passenger jet with 60 on board, four crew members, and a Black Hawk military helicopter collided at about 300 feet off the Potomac River. Three military members on board the helicopter and crashed into the Potomac, and there were rescue efforts underway. They still are searching now the Potomac River, which obviously very icy. The mid-air collision happening last night with a regional jet originating from Wichita, Kansas. The plane, again, carrying 60 passengers, including Team USA figure skaters and coaches who were returning from a camp being held in conjunction with U.S. Figure Skating Championships in Wichita. Washington Mayor Muriel Bowser confirmed in a press conference the wreckage from both aircraft are in the Potomac River. So far, 19 bodies have been recovered.
The regional jet was making a left turn to line up with runway 33. It was below 300 feet when all of a sudden the data from the radar feed just quit. So that tells us that this happened at a relatively low altitude.
And a couple of hours ago, a statement released by American Airlines CEO Robert Isom.
This is a difficult day for all of us at American Airlines. And our efforts now are focused entirely on the needs of our passengers, crew members, partners, first responders, along with their families and loved ones.
And Pat, as you reported, there hasn't been a commercial airline crash since 2009.
That's correct.
Buffalo, New York.
Yeah.
And it's actually remarkable, you know, for the number of people that fly every single day. And for this to happen just 300 feet above the Potomac River on final approach to Reagan National Airport.
Yeah. Yeah, like they say, flying is much safer than driving a car. And, you know, to all them years, you think about all the flights throughout the world, you know, and it is incredible that, you know, but still, when you hear something like this, it really sends a shock.
And we'll continue to bring you developments as the rescue efforts continue in our nation's capital. Yesterday, Robert F. Kennedy sat down and was grilled about the potential for him to become the next health secretary. With that story, CBS's Erica Brown.
Senators critical of HHS Secretary pick Robert F. Kennedy Jr. did not mince words at Wednesday's confirmation hearing.
Frankly, you frighten people.
Kennedy has a decades-long record of controversial views on health and medicine. In his opening remarks, he emphasized his agenda to make America healthy again and tried to clarify his stance on vaccines.
News reports have claimed that I'm anti-vaccine or anti-industry. I am neither. I am pro-safety.
Senate Democrats forcefully pressed him on the issue.
Are you lying to Congress today when you say you are pro-vaccine? Or did you lie on all those podcasts? We have all of this on tape, by the way.
Republican Senator Tom Tillis of North Carolina gave Kennedy a chance to reframe.
Are you a conspiracy theorist?
That is a pejorative, Senator, that's applied to me. Mainly to keep me from asking difficult questions.
New Hampshire's Democratic Senator Maggie Hassan grilled Kennedy on his views on abortion.
When was it that you decided to sell out the values you've had your whole life in order to be given power by President Trump?
Senator, I agree with President Trump that every abortion is a tragedy.
Kennedy struggled to answer questions about how he'd reform Medicare or Medicaid, inaccurately claiming the latter is fully paid for by the federal government. He advocated for healthier foods without widespread bans.
If you like a cheeseburger, a McDonald's cheeseburger, a Diet Coke, which my boss loves, you should be able to get them.
Kennedy will face another round of questioning before the Senate Committee on Health, Education, Labor, and Pensions Thursday. Erica Brown, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
And thank God they're not going to ban McDonald's burgers. That's one of them. And last night, did you know they have yet to officially name the hockey team that they have in Utah? They wanted to go with Yeti, but guess who had a problem with that? Yeti. So it's still the hockey club in Utah, but it was the first time the Penguins have ever played in the state, and
they won.
Pens were down 1-0. They came back, and in overtime.
Yes.
And in overtime.
Here we go.
All right.
Wrist to the forehand. Leaves it for Crosby. He'll come into the backhand.
Yes, that's almost like old school Josh Getzoff. Yes. From Sportsnet Pittsburgh. Yeah, they had a rough West Coast trip, and this was the last game before they came home. So at least they flew home happy after a overtime win in Utah with the hockey club there. He's still unnamed. I kind of liked Yeti.
I like Yeti too.
How about Aaron? How about Satch Quatch?
Nah.
What in the world?
The Utah. Well, that's kind of what a Yeti is, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, outside of an extremely expensive.
Yeah, right. Water bottle.
Right, water bottle or coolers.
Yeti is much easier to say. It just rolls off the tongue easier.
What was that again? Sasquatch.
Sasquatch.
Sasquatch. Yeah. Or
Sasquatch.
No, as we say in Pittsburgh, Satchquatch.
Yeah.
The Utah Satchquatch. Yeah, it might be an issue. So at least the Pens win, and that's a good thing coming home from a long road trip. Download the free Odyssey app. Take us with you wherever you go, AUDACY, and we'll keep you posted on breaking news, weather information, and our excellent talk show staff. Marty Griffin, 10 to 2. Colin Dunlap, 2 to 6 on your way home later this afternoon. As I left Heinz Hall last night, I heard the news of this mid-air collision in Washington. With more details, CBS's Natalie Brand.
Reagan National Airport remains closed until later this morning while this highly complex rescue operation continues. It involves more than 300 responders, both federal and local, from around the region, and it's expected to extend into the coming days.
EarthCam video shows the moment a commercial passenger jet and an Army helicopter collided in midair just before 9 p.m. near Washington, D.C.'s Reagan National Airport.
Both the helicopter and the plane crashed in the river.
Now, a frantic search for any survivors in the frigid waters of the Potomac River.
It's a highly complex operation. The conditions out there are extremely rough for the responders. It's cold.
American Airlines says Flight 5342, operated by PSA Airlines from Wichita, Kansas, was approaching the airport with 60 passengers and 4 crew members on board.
I know that flight. I've flown it many times myself, so this is a very personal circumstance.
This man told a local CBS News affiliate that he believes his wife was on the plane returning from a business trip.
She texted me that they were landing in 20 minutes. The rest of my text didn't get delivered. That's when I realized something might be up.
The Army says the Black Hawk helicopter involved was on a training flight with 3 service members on board. In a statement, President Donald Trump says he's monitoring the situation. Separately, on social media, he questioned the actions of the helicopter and air traffic control prior to the collision.
I know the president is incredibly concerned about what's happened here today. I'm sure we'll continue to hear more from him.
Multiple agencies are investigating the incident, including the Pentagon, FBI, Federal Aviation Administration, with with the National Transportation Safety Board taking the lead.
We're expecting our next press conference here at Reagan around 7:30 this morning. Meanwhile, American Airlines has set up a helpline for the families impacted, and U.S. Figure Skating put out a statement this morning saying, sadly, it can confirm several members of its skating community were on board the flight. They were returning home from a training program. The statement goes on to say, we are devastated and hold the victims' families closely in our hearts.
CBS's Natalie Brand will have more with Pat Septak at the bottom of this half hour. Last night, had an opportunity to meet an amazing man who went to Carnegie Mellon University, was the first to graduate from Harvard with a computer science degree. He's a prolific writer, really smart guy. His name's Oren Etzioni. Not a household name, Aaron, but what he talks about is what everybody's talking about related to artificial intelligence.
Yeah, it's honestly mind-blowing how much news similar to DC comes out daily on artificial intelligence in our region.
And we are going to talk about its impact here. Now, in Seattle, San Francisco still house this incredible team of people that are working on this stuff all the time. But Pittsburgh has a AI strike team.
Oh, yeah.
And they want to reach 100,000 tech jobs by 2028 here.
That's really exciting. I walked through the city of downtown yesterday. I met a friend for an early dinner, and I thought, wow, I just miss walking through and it being the busy city that it is. So I'm excited for what they want to do with all the development and the jobs to revive our city.
And you know this because you went to Point Park and at one time lived in the city.
Yes.
When it was a lot busier pre-COVID.
Yes. I describe the city of Pittsburgh as like a baby Chicago, and Chicago's like a baby New York. It was always busy, people walking around all the time. It wasn't lights on all the time, but yeah, it was busier than it is right now.
You better not say that to somebody from Chicago, baby New York.
I think I love...
You mean downtown proper in
indeed.
Chicago.
Yes. When I stayed in Chicago for a dance intensive fresh out of high school, and I was in the city when they won the Stanley Cup, by the way, very alarming. I walked out of class and was very scared. I'm like, what's happening? People were storming the streets. There was red everywhere. But all that to say that... Yeah, I mean, the city was mine. I loved it. I was obsessed knowing that, you know, there are dangerous areas too.
Well, as we have talked about, there are a lot of plans underway to try to revitalize Pittsburgh coming from a lot of different places.
Right.
And we'll have more on that coming up in our next hour. But this AI thing has a lot of people. Now, most people, let's be honest, if I went out on the street, if I went down to Market Square today at lunch and I'd say, describe what AI is. First of all, a lot of people might not know AI is an acronym for artificial intelligence.
Right.
Okay, what is artificial intelligence?
They might look at you and say, I don't know, a voice on my phone?
Yeah.
Or a robot in my house that I can talk to.
Let me see if Siri knows. Hey, Siri, what is artificial intelligence? No, she's not talking to me.
She is moody early in the morning.
How about that? She hung up on me.
Yeah, she said, you figure it out. But it's true. I mean, the definitions that people could come from or pull from is really just because it's all over the place. How do you summarize it?
All right, 2 in 5 Americans are keeping secrets. The last time you went shopping, do you lie about how much you spent? If you do... You're not alone. A new survey finds that 2 in 5 Americans are keeping a financial secret from their partner. And almost 50% say it's as bad as physically cheating. Overspending, secret debt, and secret credit cards are the 3 top offenses. More than 60% admit keeping some money hidden from their partners.
Oh my goodness. Whoa.
There you go. See you at Ross Park Mall.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, I guess they announced they're opening a bunch of new stores. Now, Ross Park Mall,
It's pretty lively still.
Is a little atypical because malls have suffered greatly.
Right. And it's still just as...
And Dick's Sporting Goods putting that brand new gigantic operation as an anchor tenant on one end.
Mm-hmm.
They have Nordstrom's, which nobody else has. It's so they and they have other stores that nobody else locally has.
Right.
So it's created a destination point. So they're still doing well.
Oh, yeah.
While we saw what has happened to Century 3 Mall. Monroeville Mall. Pittsburgh Mills Mall.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so they've found a way to kind of keep it going. And I will say, over the Christmas holiday, just walking through, it was as busy as it reminded me of
pre-COVID,
you know, back when people used to go to the mall all the time, and it was packed at Christmas time.
Right.
So, but tell Vinny what you're spending, and he should tell you.
Be integrous.
Yeah. I'm sure that subject won't come up tonight.
At American Airlines, and our efforts now are focused entirely on the needs of our passengers, crew members, partners, first responders, along with their families and loved ones.
That is the CEO of American Airlines, Robert Isom. After the mid-air collision just off the runway and above the Potomac River in our nation's capital, Ronald Reagan Airport, as you heard Pat Sepdak talk about in the news, an American Airlines jet operated by PSA with 60 passengers, 4 crew members on board, colliding about 300 feet above the river with a Black Hawk military helicopter with 3 on board. We're joined by our state senator, Jay Costa. First, Jay, good morning.
Good morning, Larry.
Tough to hear this. I know, obviously, you have been to Washington many times.
Yeah.
And it's been a long time since we've had a commercial airline collision, and you'd have to go back to 2009. But all the same, I certainly feel for everyone involved.
We'll certainly do, and our hearts go out to the families of everyone involved. And you're right, this has not happened in a number of years of this magnitude. And it just goes to show you that how important the proper training for folks and everything else is going forward to avoid these type of situations that occur. We don't know what caused the collision at this point, but at the end of the day, we're grateful that we're able to wake up every day and be thankful for that. But our hearts go out to all the individuals who are lost, and hopefully there'll be some recoveries as we go forward.
And we'll continue to bring news throughout the morning and throughout the day as necessary. That said, Senator, we really wanted to speak to you about the situation we're in, where the executive orders coming out of the Oval Office with President Donald Trump, they've come in waves, and they have an impact on the states, obviously, all of the states. So we had this pause on federal grants and loans. Then that was paused by a federal judge. And then yesterday, Donald Trump retracted that. But it has a ripple effect, too, on how everyone's going to deal with these things as they come along. So you're in a unique position as a leader in this state to kind of deal with it. And I think a lot of people are kind of wondering what's next.
Well, Larry, that's a great question. There's been a lot of chaos and confusion that's come out of the executive orders and more recently this memorandum with regard to federal spending. And it caught a lot of people by surprise, the magnitude and the scope of it. I think it appears now that it was not well thought out in terms of how it was drafted and sent to folks, creating tremendous confusion in terms of, as I mentioned, the scope of impact. And I think now we're in a position where, although the president has repealed the memorandum, the executive orders still stay in place. A number of them are impacting what we do and go forward with respect to many aspects of governance and the like. But the biggest one right now is the uncertainty of what's next, as you indicated. You know, next week, next Tuesday, Governor Shapiro is going to be making his budget address. And the budget address is typically broken into two parts. There's state spending and federal state revenue and federal revenue that comes into our state budget for a total of about, you know, $92 or $93 billion. Although we are at a pause right now with respect to the memorandum, there's no doubt that the president intends to revisit this subject. And to the governor's point, what type of budget does he put forward on Tuesday now that it's been upended in that regard? The thing that bothers me the most is that the approach that the administration has taken, both with the executive orders and also with these memorandums, that they push the envelope up to the edge. And I think that's concerning, because what we understand now, there's an additional memo that essentially said that we need to push the envelope as far as we can, and then let's let the courts decide what we can and can't do, almost as if they're utilizing this process. This process is going to impact many, many people for many weeks and months, and then create this uncertainty to find out what the scope of the executive authority is going to be with respect to appropriating and setting up programs and the like. And that's the part that worries me. I think I got to believe that there's got to be a better way to try to allow the president the opportunity to do an assessment of programs that he may not necessarily agree with, but there's a better way to do it as opposed to shutting everything off. And it has implications on human service programs, implications on research stuff that takes place. And you know, we do a tremendous amount of research in Pittsburgh and Allegheny County on economic development. Two major developments that I'm involved with in relating to manufacturing are on hold, and no one knows what the status is going to be. Combined, probably, you know, 1,700 jobs will be coming to Allegheny County. Those are the type of impacts that we're seeing, and not knowing what the future is going to look like.
We're with Pennsylvania State Senator Jay Costa. Senator, also, state by state, there is a lot being asked of the federal government for future decisions. One of those is, how are we handling, and I think everybody agrees, as far as the border issues, that something had to be done. But where do you stand when it comes to ICE and the immigration and deportation that's going on?
Well, I certainly think that steps needed to be taken at the border to better rein in the flow of immigrants coming into this country. With respect to the activities of ICE, I think that they have impacted a number of communities around the Commonwealth. I do think that my hope is, and what I understand is, that they're chasing and apprehending the most violent individuals who have come here that they know of. But I also get spattering of incidents that are brought to our attention where folks who have not been what I would say violent offenders in any way are also being asked to leave. Folks who have been here for decades and decades. And that's the part that concerns me. I guess I would say it's appropriate to deport the folks who have committed aggressive, violent crimes against people here in our country or came here with those type of backgrounds. But the question becomes, to what degree are we going to be rounding up people just for the sake of rounding them up with maybe minor offenses or no offenses at all? That's the part that concerns me the most. So I recognize that it's uncomfortable for a lot of folks, but again, in the community, the immigrant community across this Commonwealth, and folks I'm hearing from, are very concerned about the scope of what's being done and who they're targeting. It leads to a situation where folks who have uncertainty and could be perfectly legal residents here and working and doing everything else, afraid to go shopping, afraid to report incidents that may have happened to them, afraid to come out of their homes because they don't know what's happening. That's the chilling effect that this activity has had, and that's unfortunate. So I think we just got to be certain that this is a very narrow, limited deportation of violent individuals that we know conclusively are in that space. That's probably how I see it at this moment in time.
And, Senator, I know you're trying to work hard from a bipartisan standpoint within the state to try to get things done for everybody. And I'm just curious what you're hearing from your Republican colleagues about these items.
I think there's a somewhat difference of opinion with respect to some of the things we talked about at the beginning of the program here. But I do think on the immigration stuff, I think that there's probably some level of consensus. I can't say exactly where it's at about, you know, border controls and the like. But I also think that some folks agree with me, I think, on both sides that it needs to be limited, needs to be targeted along those lines with respect to apprehension.
A little civics question for me. The federal government, Congress by and large, controls the purse strings of the country. Is that correct?
That is correct. And they set the parameters with respect to that, yes.
So everything that is being spent from a federal standpoint is been approved by Congress at some point?
That is correct.
And then these executive orders, I guess, as you said, the pause on the grants and loans from a federal level have now been retracted for the moment, but we don't know what's coming next.
That's correct. And I think there's a distinction, as I understand it, between the executive orders and then a memorandum from a budget office. And I think more specifically, the budget office, the one that issued a memorandum that halted all the spending and loans. And I think that's, and it goes back to the point I raised earlier about how they're utilizing this process to test the bounds of presidential authority or congressional authority. And I think that's what is going to ultimately make their way to the courts. I mean, there's a memorandum, as I understand it, that says specifically we need to do this and let the courts decide, essentially. And I think that's where we're headed. So this is a continuation of those conversations, similar to occurred with respect to the immunity issue that we saw many months ago. This, I think, is another instance where they're trying to, you know, expand, I would say, the scope of the presidential authority with respect to overriding some of the decisions of Congress.
Well, Tuesday, as you mentioned, Governor Josh Shapiro will present his budget. But one of the things that anybody putting a budget together, you have the known quantities, how much money's coming in. And I guess there is a question mark when that comes to what's coming from the federal government. So we'll see.
Yep.
Senator, thank you. Really appreciate your time this morning.
No problem. Thank you. Have a good day.
Pennsylvania State Senator Jay Costa in the Big K Morning Show. As we get ready to say goodbye to January tomorrow, we have the KDK Radio Storm Center when needed, brought to you by Service Master of Greater Pittsburgh, Demand the Yellow Van, and the Butler Transit Authority. Coming up in our next hour, we'll continue to follow the story of the mid-air collision above the Potomac River just off of the runway at Reagan National Airport, InterNation's capital. We'll have details at the top of the hour. We'll also go live to Washington in our next hour as well. And AI, artificial intelligence, there's a stream of new information, and there is an effort underway here in Pittsburgh to create a AI strike team. We're going to talk to the woman behind it. She's heading this, right, Erin?
She is indeed.
A familiar name to many.
Right.
When I say artificial intelligence, what's your first thought?
Wow.
I know you're busy in there today.
No, I would say probably ChatGPT is the thing that pops at the top of my mind, just because it's what everyone's utilizing a lot in school, at work. It's pretty crazy.
Pittsburgh Speaker Series last night with Lauren Etzioni, who's one of the foremost authorities on artificial intelligence, talked about ChatGPT, and some of the questions were about education. You mentioned schools. Are kids learning how to utilize artificial intelligence to more or less do their work?
I wouldn't say that it's being taught in the classroom. Students, because they have access to it, are using it to complete assignments. And I think that that's up in the air. You know, I think maybe you'll have teachers that will embrace that, and you have teachers that are like, what are you doing? You need to actually learn this information. But ChatGPT is so good that, you know.
So basically, ChatGPT is
GPT.
Same difference.
Yeah.
GPT. Thank you. It is an app.
Yes. Yes. And it's actually been around for at least 2 years. I remember I had a friend that was like, look at this. And I thought he was so weird. And now it's like, you know, what everybody uses. So.
Well, last night, one of the questions came in, and this was really more of a statement than a question to Orin Etzioni, was he asked ChatGPT to write a love letter to his girlfriend.
I bet it was amazing.
Well, so amazing that she called him out on it, said, you didn't write this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. And that's where it gets people. They're like, you're not quite this good.
Well, we're going to talk about, in the next half hour, the effort to make Pittsburgh an AI hub.
Yep.